This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It can be tough to find your own voice in a family of nine children. And when your brothers and sisters are international superstars, the challenge can be even greater. But Rebe Jackson has always managed to carve out her own identity, even as the spotlight burns brightly on her famous family. Rebe's had a long career in entertainment, performing on stage with her siblings and appearing on television in the popular series The Jacksons. She had a successful solo career and scored a Billboard hit in 1984 with the song Centipede, written by Brother Michael. Now, Rebe Jackson is an advocate for mental health awareness. Her activism grew out of love for her family. Rebe's daughter, Yashi Brown, suffers from bipolar disorder. Rebe's teamed up with the National Alliance on Mental Illness to perform a series of concerts to raise consciousness about bipolar and other mental health disorders. She's going to perform on Saturday night at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham. But first, she is my guest on the program. Rebe Jackson, welcome to the State of Things. So nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I would like you first, I guess, to tell us about Yashi. Tell us about your daughter.
Well, what I want to say is that she's doing very well. She's been very successful. And, of course, the organization that you mentioned, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, is an organization that brings awareness to bipolar, schizophrenia, post-traumatic situations or problems, and deep depression. But anyway, the thought is bringing awareness to it because there is a secrecy or quietness that's mentioned, or I should say expressed when it comes to talking about that topic. With Yashi, in short, she, because of the right medicine compliance, she's done very well, and she just released a book of poems. And it expresses her feelings with it, so it can be taken care of.
You talked about the silence that surrounds mental illness. Was it difficult for you to come to terms with her illness?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, to be very honest, I was ignorant and didn't know what it was. Because usually when bipolar exists, in most cases, it usually presents itself when in the age of about the early 20s. 22. Normal, everything. And she still is very normal. But the behavior patterns that expressed itself. And in the end, it took about 10 years to get the right medicine. And after that, it's like any other sickness, whether it's high blood pressure, whatever. If you take the medicine, it can be taken care of.
When did you first team up with the National Alliance on Mental Illness?
Well, with the Alliance on Mental Illness, it's been about, I guess about 2 months maybe now with them.
You've been an entertainer since you were a very young woman. Are you still excited when you take the stage?
Definitely. Definitely. You have to be. You have to be. And, of course, it's something that I really, really love. I love performing live.
Does the fact that you're performing now for a cause, in a way, change anything about your performance?
I guess you could say I'm more passionate in a lot of ways about it. And the cause that's affiliated with it brings to mind the seriousness of the entire situation. And I just want people to know that, especially when it comes to mental illness or even suicide for that matter, it's very high among college students, statistically speaking. And always pick up the phone and talk to someone about it. 1-800-SUICIDE. Don't take your life because there's people that love you, and love is so important, especially from family members.
How much have you learned just about mental illness as a result of dealing with Yashi?
I've learned a lot. What I have noticed, or what I feel is true, and of course it's been said, pinned in fact, that a lot of the homeless people that you see, if they had the medication, they would have some kind of success story behind what they're dealing with.
And we should certainly point out that not most homeless people are, in fact, dealing with mental illness, but those who are,
yeah,
I think is what you're saying, for those who are.
Well, a lot of them are bipolar, and a lot of them are schizophrenic or just deep depression. Deep depression falls under mental illness, and I didn't know that when I read about it.
So. You've always been, I mean, obviously a performer and a successful performer, so you have a stage persona, but otherwise you've been notorious as a kind of private person. Was it difficult for you to come out and also talk about your daughter and be very public about this?
No, it wasn't. As far as talking about my daughter, it was something that she really wanted to do, and it just evolved. It happened. I mean, we really didn't plan anything, for sure. I mean, it just one thing led to another, and I'm very happy that she did, because she's very passionate, because when she found out that she had that problem right away, she wanted to talk to other people. She got on the message boards, in fact, with NAMI, which is why I'm so passionate about working with the organization, and they helped her more than anything. And just talking to other people that had the same problem. And what I want to focus on more than anything is the success story behind it, because most people know about the sickness existing with different ones, but they never hear the success stories that can come. And a lot of your people that are in high station are bipolar.
Well, I think that brings up a very interesting point. Part of the reason, I suppose, people don't like to talk about it, or there's so much secrecy, is the sense that if you have something called a disorder, you can't do anything else. But of course, people are very successful.
Yes.
And are going through treatment and medication.
As long as you stay on your medicine, it's like with heart trouble, high blood pressure, hypoglycemia, anything. Hypoglycemia, you know, you have to take the necessary medicines to be able to curb the situation or to at least deal with it.
Now, you know, Rebe Jackson, I couldn't get you on the show and not take you back a little bit. So we're going to do that just for a moment, because I want to know about those first days. Your family, such an important place in American popular music. What do you remember most about those early days of the Jacksons? You're the older sister. You're the big sister now.
How early do you want to go back?
Well, I mean, from the very beginning, when the Jackson family took the nation by storm, and what that did to a family that, you know.
Well, what I remember as far as before they became, you might say, celebrities, after they released their record worldwide, you could say, all the rehearsals, all the practicing that they were involved with, and there was always music in the house. There was never, ever, ever a dull moment. And amplifiers all over the living room. We lived in a very small house, and we lived very close to a little league field. And, of course, with that being the case, the whole neighborhood would go to the little league field or to see the games. And of course, they had to pass our home because it was on the avenue. Mm-hmm. The little league field was at the end of the avenue. And they would hear the music coming from the house. And before they got to the little league field, the house was just surrounded. So literally.
You knew you were onto
something. There was no
right
privacy
away.
Afterwards, you know, from the rehearsing. And so that's what I think about more than anything.
But you were the rebel. I mean, you were a young woman. You chose love over fame, got married at 18.
Yes.
And
yes.
That caused a little conflict in the family.
Well, I moved away. I moved to Kentucky, and I was in a missionary assignment, in fact, and very dedicated, and still am. And I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay.
Yes, very dedicated to that. So what happened is that I wasn't around for a while. And then, of course, I moved to California 7 years later and got involved with the family show, performing all over the country with everyone. And then, of course, I started working on my own. Michael wrote, produced, and arranged and sang on Centipede. And that got me going with what I was doing, my work. And so the rest was history.
And then in 2009, just before Michael passed away, the two of you recorded a song called Fly Away. That was for the 1998 album. But I want to hear a little bit about from Fly Away. Your last collaboration.
But that wasn't in 2009. I was going to...
1998.
Yes.
1998.
Yes.
Michael passed away in 2009.
Yeah.
A musical genius. What was it like to work with him?
Well, It's funny you ask that question because Michael used to never want anyone to know how he worked. He always wanted to keep it like a mystery. But I will say, especially in connection with when I recorded Centipede, I'll never forget, he said, well, if it's a hit, the speakers are going to blow up when we play it back. And so he put it on the loudspeakers after we had finished. And then the speakers literally burst. Yeah. They really did. He jumped up on the console, I'll never forget, and he started dancing and he started screaming. And so it was exciting. More than anything, it's funny with Michael, more than the lyrical content as much, he goes with the feeling, as at least when I was working with him with that song, especially that one. He wants the inflection and the attitude to be very pronounced and have it there. So it was a lot of fun, very sincere about his work.
Will your concert tour include some of his songs?
Well, yeah, there are some songs that I'm doing of the Jackson 5 and, of course, Centipede, yes.
Fabulous. Rebe Jackson, what a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Rebe Jackson going to perform at the Haytai Heritage Center in Durham tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The concert is to benefit and raise awareness about mental health. For more information, you can visit haytai.org. Haytai is H-A-Y-T-I. On the State of Things, a bewitching look at some of the iconic Americans and their ties to the occult. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.